Hello, this is Speedball Mike Bailey from Impact Wrestling. You're listening to Wrestle In.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to ChocoCast, your little bit of audible happiness here on the Wrestle In Network. Be sure to subscribe for more from us, as well as a host of other shows like On the Indies, Tokyo Joshi Freedom Fighters, Ocean Cyclone Show, Ace Techers, and All Elite Listening. And sign up to our Patreon for as little as $1 a month to get early access to those shows, as well as any exclusive interviews we get. Plus, you get some exclusive content just for the Patreon. Sign up at patreon.com/wrestlein. Now, it's October, it's spooky season, and it's so spooky that we've actually scared off one of our hosts. Finley, unfortunately, can't be with us this month, but that's okay, because I'm here to make sure Chia still gets her share of shout-outs, even in spite of him not being here. And I am, thankfully, joined by our other regular host, all the way from Ichigai Square himself, Window Jeff. How are we going today?
Slow response, sorry. I was typing something in my... typing away, and then I was like, oh, I'm on mute.
It's okay. There's a beautiful thing called editing, and I'll leave it in anyway just to make you look foolish, but I have the power to make you look less foolish.
Oh, editing. I forgot that's a thing that exists now. So yeah. But no, I'm doing pretty good. Today I was out at the this afternoon I went to the Diana show. They had like the 35th anniversary of was it Kyoko Inoue. Famous Joshi legend. So that was pretty cool. Obviously there was a few names that were not on the show that were expected due to the rash of injuries we've been seeing within wrestling recently, especially Japanese wrestling. But
yeah, it's been crazy.
But it was a good show. I don't know
what kind of bug is over there right now, but it's doing a number on the talent.
Yeah. I don't know. We'll see. Maybe it's that Halloween season, you know, the ghosts are out playing tricks. The yokai are out there playing tricks on people. That was a fun show.
So that they be practicing and getting their costumes ready. Because I know that takes time.
Mm.
Do you have your Halloween costume ready? Because I know it's a big thing over in Tokyo.
Yeah, actually the Japanese government, as they've been doing for the last few years, they're really trying to encourage foreigners, tourists specifically, but they really want to, because it's mainly a tourist thing. So I live in Shibuya-ku. And in Shibuya, it's famous for on Halloween night, lots and lots. I mean, downtown, you know, like the famous Shibuya Crossing, which you're very familiar with. The entire area is just wall to wall people. I mean, like they've been trying to dial it down. The city's been trying its best to kill it. Like they've even the last couple of years, I think all bars were required to be closed that night. So like no one could go to the bars, but they're just buying drinks at like 7-Eleven and drinking on the street.
Do you have your costume ready though? That's the big question. And if you do, who are you dressing up as?
That's a good one. I have to think about that. So last year, so this is the thing, right? So Choco Pro always does its Halloween episodes, if you will. I don't know if they've said which day to this year might be one or not, or if they're going to have one. But I know last year I dressed up like Bull Nakano. So I did, I tried to get my hair like vertical, like because I have long hair right now. Mm. And I tried to get it vertical. But, it, they don't make hairspray like they used to in the 1980s, apparently, because that shit was not working at all. I got some blue. Actually, I still have this little can of blue, like, temporary hairspray. And, oh, my God, that stuff gets all over everything. Like, it's ridiculous. Like, it was insane. I've never used that type of spray before. But it's funny because, actually, I remember Aki and I were talking about it because – a couple of his gear, like there's one of his, like, I think his white top. Like if you look on the back, it has like some red, kind of like red tinting on parts of it. And it's literally from him using like the same type of product on his hair to get a red to match May for some idea May had of like, oh, we could do red for the apple. And he's like, all right. And then like he still has red stains all over his gear like years later now.
At least his gear has red as well. So you can kind of pass it off as, oh, he's going for like a gradient effect. If he was wearing like the blue gear or something, he'd be stuffed.
Yeah, it's fine. It's kind of, it looks similar to our window that we have that we're using in this.
Yeah, the good thing with the wrestling colors, we got the white, we got the red, we got the black. So we are supporting Aki, I'd like to think. We've got his colors flying proudly here. And of course, you can see it on the wrestling website and all of those kind of social media things, which we'll plug eventually. But we don't want to fill the opening with that kind of boring stuff because it's Halloween, it's spooky season. But you did mention it is.
Wait, what about you? What about your Halloween? We didn't say either of our I said my last year's Halloween costume.
Yeah, yeah.
Have you thought about a costume?
Well, see, the thing is, like, down here in Australia, no one really gives a crap. It's a very Americanized kind of thing. Yeah, you know, down here, people try and get it going, but, like, we don't have the trick-or-treat culture. Really, the extent of dressing up and doing Halloween stuff is generally just, like, people do go to, like, a bar and they'll have, like, a Halloween night, and it's just not the same. You know, I have some old costumes from years back, like going to like anime conventions and Comic-Con stuff. Like I dressed up as the Riddler and whatnot, but I don't think that'll fit anymore because I have been expanding my influence both online and on my waistline, unfortunately. But yeah, so probably no dressing up. I'm going to stick with the scary movies to the scary movies and the candy. That's how I like to celebrate October 31. 30 days of September, April, June. No, 31. I'm shocking with those kind of things. I should know because we've just had September 30th and big stuff happening then. But yeah, do you have a costume?
Yeah, I don't have a costume yet decided for this year. I wouldn't mind doing the Bull Nakano again. I mean, I still have the damn blue eyeliner pencil that I drew all those lines on my face with. So I could always rehash last year's. Usually I wear, like in the past, I wear these little things called kigurumi, which is like a Japanese kind of, I don't know how to describe it. It's like a pajamas, like one piece pajamas suit with like a little hood that, they have lots of anime characters and Pokemon and things like that. And they're quite cute. So I've often worn those. I have one from Don Quixote of the Don Penn, the Don Quixote penguin mascot, which is probably my favorite one.
So is it, got stuff that you can use?
So that one, I love it, but because that one, like I specifically wanted that and they didn't have it in the store, like on the shelves anywhere. And I asked the staff, like, do you have a Don Penn one? And she's like calling back in the thing and they pulled one out of like the back. Like, they're like, oh, we don't have them on the floor for sales. But I called the manager up and he said, yeah, we can have one. And I was like, all right, great. And they gave me one. And I was like, sweet. So that's my favorite one.
You've gone through an adventure just to get it. Of course it's your favorite.
Yeah. But I think wrestling wise, maybe like, so let's make this more interesting because we're a Choco Pro podcast. So even though you don't do the Halloween thing in Australia, if you were to dress up as a Choco Pro, either regular official roster member, guest wrestler, who would you dress up as for Halloween?
Okay. So the good thing about trying to dress up as a Choco Pro wrestler is for someone with my quote unquote build, you don't want to be showing off too much skin. Most of the guys coming through Choco Pro, they wear shirts. You know, you've either got Barley and Aki with the dedicated kind of, you know, torso piece. You've got Master Takanashi wearing the singlet, Shin Suzuki wearing the singlet. Chan Shiryu has that kind of Chinese-inspired garb. Chris Brooks has the midriff thing. It's probably a little adventurous for me. I would probably go Master Takanashi. That looks the most fun. And those shorts look incredibly comfortable. So, like, you get to be stylish and comfortable, which is the ultimate combination.
Oh, that is a good answer.
What about you?
So I think I'm trying to think for my character and like my personality type. I'd probably be pretty good at Chie. I could probably do a Chie pretty damn well, actually. I wear my hair down as well, and I'm pretty good at running around in circles and acting really genki. So maybe Chie, I could do a good Chie, but I don't know how I would get the uniform put together. That's the hard part, is the costume. So you know what? I'm going to change my thing. Let me go with the... No, even that's tough. You know what?
You can't complain about Chie. They had four different people dress up as her recently. You can get the costume together.
I could do the white and orange striped shirt like Aki had when for the Baka Gaijin 4. That, okay, either Chie or maybe Shin Suzuki, just because I want to go around doing three-point headstands everywhere.
You are capable of the headstand?
Of course, easily.
I know you're an ex-military man, but like, you know, some of these skills leave us as we've left on and move forward.
I mean, I could easily, like, if I could easily shift the webcam and do it on camera if we're a video podcast, but we're not, so
that might be a future Patreon exclusive. Now, we also need to get a costume for Finley. He's not here to decide, so I think we decide for him. I'd like to see him do Sayaka.
I just thought of another one that I would like to do. I would love to do Lulu Pencil. That would be
Yes. We saw Chris Brooks wear the Lulu.
All you need is a pair of pink overalls.
I'm assuming they're readily available in Japan, given how many people did have the pink overalls while we were over there.
I'm sure Wish.com will make anything for free.
And for a fraction of the price and not actually be pink when it gets to you.
I'll literally just have to make like a meme of like, we want Lulu Pencil, and then we have Lulu Pencil at home, and it'll be me wearing some stupid Wish.com pink overalls.
We saw Chris do the Lulu Pencil costume last year at their Halloween thing, so that was a nice little shout out. I do like when they dress up in, yeah, because we've had like four cheers, we've had May do the Balianaki costume, we've had Antonio.
We've had Emi Sakura do the Balianaki as well.
Yes, and we've had Antonio Honda do the Emi Sakura, which I suspect we'll see again very shortly, given we are heading into Halloween season. It's fun to see what they come up with, and sometimes
one of the really cool things is Black Komenichi. A couple, like maybe a year ago, Black Komenichi. I forget what day it was or whatever, but Tokiko Kirihara Otoki, she brought a bunch. Maybe it was Valentine's Day, but she brought a, she on her own thing went out and made a whole bunch of chocolates with the different types of Black Komenichi teams, because they've done like team, like, you know, parodies of so many others. And like one of the chocolate I got was like a Best Bros Komenichi, and it was like I think Hondo was May, he had the apple on the head, and then Otoki was Aki, but they had like Tropical Komenichi and all these different Komenichis, and it was like, oh, this is the best. So like, I actually have two of the chocolates of different teams, but I think there were four or five different types, but she's only done it once, so it's not really easy to collect them all.
Yeah, it's sort of got to find other people willing to not eat the chocolate too, which, see, I'd be looking at it going like, this is kind of a collector's thing, I should hold on to this, and then I'd be like, but it's chocolate, you should eat it and you should enjoy it.
Let me mute my mic while you talk for a bit, and I'm going to get him out and show you.
Oh, no, he's asking me to filibuster. That's no pressure at all. But I think, yeah, we haven't decided on anything for Finley, but for you guys listening, I've got two jobs for you. One, I want you to come up with a costume that for Finley to wear. Now, obviously, I think he'd want to do chair as well because of his eternal love for her. But I think, you know, we have Jeff claiming chair, and I want to see Jeff do chair. Partly because he can be on camera wearing that costume at the Choco Pro show. And I'm expecting him to do that now. You know, no pressure to Jeff while he's not here, but I'm expecting that. So, yeah, listeners, let us know what you want to see Finley wear, and also what you guys would wear as well if you were to dress up as a Gato Move wrestler. Oh, we'll let you pick chair just because Jeff's picked her as well, or Masa, because I've picked
Masa. I changed mine to Shin Suzuki, so
you're gonna do the 3-point headstand.
Yeah, but actually I may try to do Chie for the Choco Pro window just to please you, since you mentioned it. I could try to put some orange or something in it, but I gotta figure it out.
The good thing is, from a distance, like the color, you know, hit the light hits right, it's orangey-ish. Yeah, you can make it work. But obviously, we do need to address the unfortunate elephant in the room. We did mention Shin Suzuki. He is unfortunately out, and out for quite a while. He injured himself on, if you can believe it, the one live stream episode they've done in months. That is the episode he injured himself in. And the reports are a ruptured anterior cruciate ligament, or ACL, which, yeah, some people will be aware of, some people won't be. That's a long recovery. You're looking, you know, generally probably 8 to 9 months, because it's a professional wrestler. You probably want to give it a bit longer. The good news is you do recover from it. It's, you know, it's not something that is career ending. Shin should be able to come back in good form, but it's a brutal loss, not only for us as fans, but for him to be out of, you know, making a living wrestling for
that's his livelihood. Yeah, it was really sad when it happened too, because it was like, it's crazy. So it was right as his wife and Konagiri-chan, his daughter, were coming up to the window to watch the match. Like right as they were coming up to watch, he got injured probably like 5 seconds before that. And so it was like the whole really awkward where a lot of us didn't know what was going on. And is this a work? Is it like, I mean, you could see it wasn't a pure, like it wasn't like the plan, you know, you could see something was wrong, but it's like, oh, maybe it's just like he tweaked something and they could maybe work through it. And that's what they were maybe trying to try to go with. But then it was like obvious, nah, he's not going to be able to, because it's a, as we saw, it's a, and as the doctors have said, it's a very serious injury. I give Shin a lot of credit for really trying to fight through it too. Like he wanted to keep going.
Yeah, the wrestling spirit lives through them. And it is, unfortunately, that spirit can sometimes really come back to bite people who
work. Yeah, because then your injury gets worse because you're working on it. You've got that adrenaline flowing at first. Because same thing like when I broke my wrist that I had to get surgery to fix. Like I got home and I was laughing. I took a photo of like, oh, look, my wrist, it's like bloody. I got like, I scraped my hands up a little bit. And like, in the morning, I was like, yeah, it feels kind of crappy. And then, like, I fixed it, like, myself with a splint for a few days. And then I finally had to go to the hospital. I mean, I knew it was broken because I know I could tell immediately. But I had to wait a couple days before for the clinics to open. And, all that, you know, whatever you're doing on it or the longer you wait, it all complicates. It makes it harder to heal, right? But I think he's in the hospital now. It's not a good point. It could be a kind of silver lining, but not really. There's really no silver lining. But I guess one small thing is that the kind of the pro wrestling community coming together to try to minimize the effects on him. Either way, there's nothing that we could do that's going to make it, you know, better than if he hadn't been injured, but at least what we could try to do is minimize the negative impact on his family and his livelihood. And it's really cool to see so many people wanting to come together to try to say, what can we do to help Shin out and, you know, keep the lights on and also make him feel appreciated. And that's really cool. So like, I think maybe it'd be good if we could talk about that a little bit, some of the different things that are going on.
Oh, absolutely. I think, you know, because obviously our listeners, like if you're listening to a ChocoCast podcast, you care about not only ChocoPro, but you care about the wrestlers involved as well. And I think Shin especially, like I've never heard anyone say like even a mildly bad word about him in terms of like, oh, he's okay or anything. Everybody just kind of loves what he brings to the table. So I think absolutely we should mention. I know like for the most recent show since we're recording, it was on last Wednesday. They ran it last Wednesday. It aired yesterday on Saturday on YouTube. All of the bouquets would go to Shin and his family as part of the rehabilitation stuff. And that is, I believe Barleen mentioned, was going to stay open. So if people still wanted to give bouquets to sort of help with that support, that will be available. I know there's other things available as well. Do you know, are you aware of those at this stage, Jeff?
Yep. I know a couple. Yeah. But I definitely like the bouquet is obviously a very easy, direct one for a lot of people already familiar. And I know a lot of people, I know I did one. I know a lot of people, I was actually thinking, because they are still available. So basically it's the 10-5, like you could see it. It's pretty clear which one it is. The October 5th bouquet. They might be doing another different one. That's going to be a Shin support, like, thing. I don't know, kind of maybe similar to like Namaste bouquets or things like that when Aki does his trip, or the May support Big Apple bouquets when she travels. So there might be something like that that they're putting together, I think. But for the time being, you know, you could literally every show you could just do like a Shin bouquet instead of or you could do a regular bouquet too. But there was a lot of Shin, there was a lot of bouquets on the 10-5 show. That was like the most bouquets I've seen in a while. You know, it filled up the outside window and a lot of the wall on the inside, which is awesome to see.
It's always great when they have to have multiple locations.
Exactly. A couple of the other things that are going on, some of them are a little bit harder for those outside of Japan. So some of the artists, so I don't know if people saw when Chris Brooks got injured, one of the regular artists and I guess you could say, clothing brands like called La Mystica, which is a really nice designer. And he's done a lot of stuff for Choco Pro. Like, he's the one that did May's 5th anniversary shirt. He designed, it just fell apart. He designed the little, this thing, the little May.
Acrylic standee. Like,
acrylic standee things. He did this. He's done a lots of stuff like that. But he for Chris Brooks's injury, they did, like, it was around like a little over 2,000 yen, and it was like some special things in him and a few other artists that are within this kind of circle put together some goods, and you could buy it online for like 2,000 yen, and then the money would go to support Chris. Well, La Mystica's done it again, this time for Shin. And this one's really cool because one of the items that are in the pack is a little, what are they called? Mini. It's like a little mini Lego nano block, I think it's called.
Oh, nano blocks, yes. Like,
I don't know if anybody saw Choco Pro. A lot of the, if you scroll back in Choco Pro wrestlers, like, you know, feeds on Twitter from a few months ago, when La Mystica did his solo show and merch pop up, one of the other artists that he worked with had a little like nano block Choco Pro roster, and you know, yeah, like there was lots of stuff. Like when May visited the exhibit, she took the May and like put Chris down on the ground and had May on top of Chris, like beating him up. You know what I mean? And little things like that. So
he even built an Ichigai square, I remember, which was really cool.
He built an Ichigai square, and he was joking with me. He's like, "Oh, I should have put a little Jeff in the window." I was like, "Oh, next time." And he's a really nice guy. But yeah, so like I was sharing his stuff as well. So, but yeah, so the cool thing is he has obviously with La Mystica, he's worked together. And one of the goods that you get when you support this is a little nano block Shin. And he's got two different types you can get. One is like the regular, and the other is a 3-point headstand. Like he's actually in the headstand. Yeah, so you get that nano block. There's a really cool postcard that I think La Mystica might have put together himself. And it's a play on one of the famous Western art. Like it's like that the old woman pouring the jug of milk. You know, it's like a milk. It's like it's a very famous art piece. Like if you saw it, you're like, oh, I know this art.
Yeah.
But it's he kind of reworked it where it's Shin making an onigiri. And it's like beautiful. Really cool looking, and some pictures. So it's a really cool package, and it's just a little over 2,000 something yen. I'm not sure. La Mystica maybe said he's not sure if he could do overseas shipping or anything like that. However, what I will say is maybe like if people are really interested and they want to get that, maybe they could, if they try to send me a message, maybe I could try to order it here in Japan and then I can ship it out to them. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? So like we could try to figure out a way to kind of make it work, even if it means that like I'll go out and buy it and I'll just ship it manually to people. If it creates more purchases to get Shin more help, I think it's worth doing. So yeah, so if anyone's interested, they could shoot me a message for that. But yeah, so there's that. And then
message.
What's that?
Where should they shoot the message, just so people know?
Oh, they could find me on Instagram, find me on Twitter. They can shoot me an email, which is just jeffmaziata@gmail.com. My Instagram is just jeffmaziata. My Twitter's just jeffmaziata. But my last name is MAZZIOTTA. So, but you'll see it if you're following this, you probably know it because they tag me when they post this. But yeah, so like shoot me a message and I can try to help people out if they're interested in getting it. I'll do my best. I can't make any promises, but I can see if I can get it to work. I can see if
the ball might be able to roll there. And the other option too is like, I know there are third party shipping like White Rabbit and Tenso and stuff. Sometimes they don't work for every single store, but some people might already have those set up to buy other merchandise internationally or from Japan and shipping internationally. So look into that as well. La Mystica might have it set up because they're all based in Japan and they just act as, you know, middlemen shippers. So that's an option basically. If you also, yeah, Jeff is very graciously offering to see if he can make that work.
Much more professional than me trying to do it.
Well, you know, it's more
professional. If you ask anyone, Anyone I've ever promised to mail things for, they're like, what the hell, dude? It's been like a month. What are you doing? Like, I got really busy. I'm sorry. It's coming.
Yeah, you do have to remember Jeff has a job. He's not just freeloading over in Japan. He has important things to do. He has podcasts to record, like ChocoCast. Yeah. He has every single show to attend to, whether it be the Diana shows or the Choco Pros or the Baka Gaijins and stuff like that. So if you go through Jeff, understand it's not going to necessarily be immediate. But
I'll do my best.
Yeah.
And I got work trips and stuff like that. But yeah, one day, hopefully I'll be able to quit my job and people can pay me to do Japanese wrestling stuff. That'd be cool.
You could be a full-time distributor.
Yeah, I could just be a full-time like tour guide when people come to Japan. And now I just do it for free. If people, oh, you like Japanese wrestling? Come on, I'll take you places.
See, that's where you got to start doing the Jeff window tours and start bumping up the yen.
Exactly. But, other final thing, which is really cool that I don't think most people, most listeners will probably never get a chance to check it out. But one of the really interesting is Toru Owashi. He's obviously a very famous Japanese wrestler. He's got a flea market coming up in Shinjuku Face, like later at the end of it, like October 24th. I shared it on my socials. But one of the ideas is like it's something to help with like injured wrestlers and stuff. And then Shin had responded to it like, oh, I'd like to take part, but I'm currently in the hospital. So, and then, he's like, oh, representatives can do it for you. So then Gato Move like responded, and some of the Gato Move wrestlers or staff are going to go work at this event to help sell some goods and get money for Shin that way too. So I think that's really awesome. Like, not only are they saying, okay, we're going to do bouquets, it's like, oh, we have a chance. I'll go and I'll work at this event and try to sell some goods to help Shin too. I'll do that. Like they are doing as much as they can to try to really make good and help Shin out, which is really lovely to see. You know, they're a really good group of people. And it's awesome to see everybody kind of chipping in to help Shin out. When Shin broke his nose, that was like the birth of Shin, the referee who refs a ton of, cause he was like, he couldn't wrestle. So Emmy's like, well, I will book you to ref everything. You know what I mean? So like, it's pretty cool.
It really hammers home how much of a family vibe the Gato Move cast have. You know, they're not just there all wrestling, but it's a real family environment. And I think that extends to the fans as well. You know, as when I started getting into Choco Pro, I felt that kind of family vibes and, you know, felt welcomed as a fan and just wanting to participate and felt, yeah, this is more than just a group of people coming together to put on a show. But there's a real special group there. And yeah, obviously you don't want injuries to happen, but you know, ideally, you'd maybe do it in a place like WWE or AEW where they can, you know, just financially support you while you're recovering. The Japanese independent scene isn't built that way, but Gato Move are doing their best. And the Choco Mints are doing their best as well. So if you have supported him, whether it be through Choco Bouquets, whether it be buying the La Mystica stuff or any other way, even just like, not everyone has money, especially in this time of year, financial world sort of situation. Even just sending your support and encouragement, I think, would mean a lot, because a wrestler being off the screen for that long is very difficult, even as someone who has a family like he does. So keep Shin in your thoughts, keep Shin's family in your thoughts, and soon enough, you know, down the road, we'll see the three-point headstand once again, because ACL injuries, they're big, they take a while, but for those listening, to give you an idea of wrestlers coming back from those injuries, Stardom have had several. Saya Iida, she tore her ACL, she came back and she's as good as ever. Natsu Katori did her ACL as well, and she
I saw Saya Iida today.
Oh, wonderful. Yeah, Diana. Natsu Katori. No, that's all good. She honestly, Tora's better than she's ever been right now, and that's after the ACL injury. So very unfortunate injury for Shin, but he will come back better than ever. Just got to be patient and keep him in your thoughts. But disappointing for Shin, there are encouraging news still coming out. Mei Suruga is going back to Mexico. She's taking part in CMLL again.
I think Aki may be going to Mexico soon as well. Isn't he?
I might have missed it. You probably,
or maybe I'm imagining it. Maybe it was like a fever dream I had, and I had this like whole thing of like, best bros, maybe in Mexico. Maybe it's like entirely in my brain.
Maybe you're just trying to make it happen, which would be awesome if it does.
I'm putting that out into the world and hope
Yeah, but yeah, May's going over at the end of October, so she'll probably miss any Halloween shows that might happen for Choco Pro. But this is a pretty good excuse to miss it, you know. I feel like the last Mexico trip was very successful for her. Yeah, the appling Mexico is always exciting to see. She's got the jacket definitely on. She's definitely getting in the mood for it.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm really looking forward to. I think you're right. Like I was telling people, like May was probably the big hit last year when that whole group with like Ty and May and Kaho went. I saw Ty and Kaho today at they were all over there. Miyuki Takase went as well, right? Was it Miyuki Takase? Who was the other one? It wasn't Miyuki Takase.
I don't remember. It's like a year ago. My memory is shocking.
Yeah, my memory's not. But there was a group that went over. Mm. But like May was like definitely a huge standout during that kind of time frame. And Mexico fell in love with her. So I'm really hopeful to see this trip. You know, she's going back not as the like unsure rookie. She's going back as like the returning hero.
So. Soon to be all conquering. Mexico will honor the apple in all ways. And she might be going there with the Super Asia Tag Championships too. Because obviously Shin Suzuki was one half of those champions along with Chan Shiru. They're vacating the belts and we have a new match to determine the new champions, which is going to be Best Bros, going to be Balinaki and Mei Suruga versus Kairoi Yoniyama and Hagane Shino, which is happening at the next Gato Move event, which when this comes out will be happening, I think, at the end of the week. Are you going to be going, Jeff?
Yeah, of course I'll be going. It's going to be on the 16th. Actually, you know what? if I could mention this. So I want to shout out, if possible, someone. So there's actually, I'm putting together a care package for this person. So one
he does ship stuff.
What's that?
He does ship stuff.
Yeah. Actually, I have a package I have to ship to Angela from the former Happy Joshi podcast that I've got for her that I got so busy doing, but I'm going to send it probably this week once I get this expense report put in. But this guy, his name is Bear. I don't know if he's well, I don't think he's like really out there in the, I don't know if he's in chat a lot or not, but he's a fan. He just started watching like wrestling quite recently, and like wrestling is like kind of brought him and his partner together. Him and his partner kind of, it's their activity. They watch together. They were planning on coming to Japan. They were meant to come to Japan for like the second half of October. But sadly, their dog is kind of, they had to get chemotherapy for their dog. And so they made a hard decision to kind of stay home and help support their dog. And so I shot him a message like, hey, you know, maybe I could try to buy, because I hadn't got the Choco Pro tickets yet. And which is strange because usually I buy them well in advance, but I hadn't bought them yet.
You're so
I shot him a message like, yeah. But anyway, so he was like, so I was like, I'll just buy your tickets off of you or whatever. But this guy is so kind. So he just literally gave me his tickets. He was like, you can just have them because like, I'd like you to go to the show or whatever. And so he just gave them to me. So I've got two tickets actually for the show. So I'm getting the job. I was going to buy anyway, but I'm going to go to the show and I'm bringing, I'm going to bring Nozomi from the Cielo, the bartender from Cielo. I'm going to bring Nozomi here. I brought her to another Choco Pro show before. So she really likes, so I'm going to bring Nozomi to that one. And I have an extra free ticket. So I'm going to bring like a friend. I'm just going to start bringing people to shows now that I have tickets. So it's going to be great. But I'm very thankful for Bear. So one of the things I'm going to do is and a bunch of other tickets he's wasn't able to sell. So I'm going to put together a little care package of Choco Pro goods and stuff for him and his partner and his dog, Elvis Jr. So since he can't get to the show, at least he can get some goods to, some pictures and stuff like that from the Choco Pro folks. But yeah, so I will be at that show. I think it's a front. I think it's like a maybe like a ringside or something like that.
Wonderful.
Lucky Jeff.
Hopefully the pup, the dog, heals up okay. That's chemotherapy, obviously very scary when it's a loved one like a pet and stuff. But hopefully the care package lifts the spirits a little bit, and you'll just have to cheat extra half at the shows on their behalf.
Yeah, I'm just trying to figure out who I should get to to autograph a portrait to Elvis Jr. Jr. to his dog. You know what I mean? That's going to be the fun one. That's what I want to do. Get some autographs for the pup.
I'm sure the pup will appreciate it. The pup has to be a Ghetto Move fan, surely. Right? I feel like it's a dog-friendly show.
Absolutely. That's that show. I'll be going to that. We've got like actually quite a bit this week. So on the 11th, there's a Choco Pro. On the 14th, I think there's a Choco Pro. And then on the 16th is the in-ring show.
They're keeping you busy and they're keeping you broke.
Absolutely.
And one,
but, you know, person,
yeah, one person that we've been seeing on Choco Pro recently, which is I've been really enjoying, is Dr. Gore, who's part of the Setup Thailand crew.
Oh, I thought you were going to say me in the window, but okay.
No, well, last show I saw, you weren't even in the window. Yeah, I was looking.
I wasn't. For you, that's because this is crazy. Everyone's giving me their tickets. That was also a ticket that somebody gave me, CJ, who's wait, let me get the full name though, so I could shout him out properly. But CJ gave me his ticket for that. He'll be at the 11th show, so I'm gonna see him on the 11th, and I'm gonna bring him to down to Ebisco to thank him properly and take him out for dinner. But CJ Lines, he gave me, he was like, he messaged me like, hey, I bought a ticket thinking I'd be there in time, but my flight's actually, I probably won't be able to make it. Do you want it? And I was like, happily, I'll use it. I was going to buy my normal ticket in the window anyway. So I'll be honest, it was really weird not being in the window. I was so uncomfortable sitting there like in the group of people. And I'm like, man, in the window, I have so much space.
Well, not only were you know, crammed around people, you literally had Chan Shiru's butt right in your face at one point when he decided to hang off the little crane thing and choke Aki out. I saw you desperately.
Yeah, I had to hold him up. I was like, I had my hands up in case he falls, because like the angle, if he slipped, he would have been falling right on me. So I had to kind of, there was one time I had to kind of just lightly tap his back. Mm. And then after the show, Chan was like sitting and relaxing in my a lap area.
You're just giving you a lap dance from above.
Exactly.
But exactly. I look for you with the, is it the Onitsuka sneakers that you've got, the yellow ones?
Oh yeah, my bright yellow Onitsuka Tigers. Yeah, they're the mids. Yeah.
I've always liked those shoes, and when I notice you're wearing them whenever you're not in the window, I always make a point to look for it. If I don't see in the window, do I see yellow Tiger shoes popping out from the corners anywhere?
Yeah, I've actually found myself at some of the various ring shows, like, because like they're out in the ring, and I just, oh, I see my bright yellow shoes on the side of the ring, like on the floor. I'm like, oh, there I am. One time, actually, I remember like Honda and Chris Brooks like landed on my feet. I was like, ow, maybe those bright yellow shoes were a good target to aim for.
It does give you a visual point of reference, that's for sure. Mm-hmm. I don't need to worry about wearing shoes like those. If I want to spot myself in a crowd, I tend to stick out. Like there's the prominent show that I went to, the first anniversary show at Kurrikan Hall, I'm in a spot where I'm not super obvious all the time, but when Suzu Suzuki comes out, the camera definitely catches me. And just because I'm twice the size of everyone else in the crowd, I stand out like a sore thumb at the best of times. Mm. But yeah.
Yeah. You
need the shoes.
I'm small even in Japan. When I first moved to Japan, people were like, oh man, you're going there because, you know, they're all cracking jokes like, oh, you're going there so you'll be the regular height, huh? And then I'm like, haha. You know, I don't, some people are bothered by their height or whatever. I don't give a crap. It doesn't bother me one bit. But like, I'm like, yeah, man, that'd be nice. Maybe, who knows? And I got here. Nope. I'm still short, even in Japan.
Yeah. Between us, we are a normal height. Mm. If we combine forces, I shrink down, you grow up, and yeah, we make it work. But yeah, Dr. Gore is from Thailand. I've been really
Dr. Gore, SPW as well, isn't he?
Oh, yes. My bad.
SPW, yeah. Singapore Pro Wrestling.
Yeah, and he's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, actually, Dr. Gore is Dr. Gore has really gotten over a lot with like the crowd, like really, really a lot. I think he has a little bit of an advantage, like, because I was thinking like some of the, like, so he's like a kind of a quite baby face, like beloved in Choco Pro, right? I was feeling like some, like, because, you know, like some of the other, like, so Kojio, for example, who I quite like Kojio quite a bit. He's very nice. I mean, he's an evil demon, but like, so his character, he's like a kind of like a demonic kind of, like, he doesn't talk, he's not allowed to really talk, and he has to kind of be like this kind of like monster character. I kind of feel bad for people like that in a sense, because like, it's hard to really get that character like to see as popular. Like, whereas with like a character like Dr. Gord, he comes out, he talks to the audience, and he's got these very animated things, so people could get into it really easily. And it's like, you know, I feel like he's got a gimmick that really works for him really well. But let me not belittle it to that, because Dr. Gord has charisma for days, and that man has just been. I don't know. It's really weird, because there's been like a, you know, we have a lot of great guests that come into Ichigaya, and there's been quite a few good ones. And there's always a few that stick out to me that I thought, wow, this guy really feels really like a cool part of Choco Pro. The three names that really stick out to me that I think are cool characters, or characters that could be unique or different, or just people that got along really well, was Anarcho Montana. I thought Anarcho was really, really cool. And I thought like he really was well beloved by Ichigaya's fans. So Anarcho, like I said, I really like Kojio. I think his character is different, and I think there's a lot of room that they can do with that. Like, I think there's a lot of stuff that they could plumb with him as that monstery character, and just, you know, just the fun of the different characters reacting to it. But then Dr. Gore, of course, is just, man, he is okay. Well, Andrew Tang as well. Maybe SPW, just about anyone from SPW seems to be like, I don't know what they're teaching them, but they teach him how to get over. Because Andrew with his EAC is super over. And then Dr. Gore with his health checks and his like, do your best positive motivations on Instagram. Like, he's awesome. You can't help but love Dr. Gore.
Oh, yeah. Like, when I first heard of the gimmick and saw it, I'll admit I was kind of like, okay, I get it. It's a fun little concept that gives you something to do with. But, yeah, his charisma really shines through. And he takes a gimmick which could be very one note and just kind of there, and really bring it to a point where it's, you want to see not only what he's going to do, but how people are going to interact and bounce off it. Because there's always little things that everyone brings to the table to really enhance that kind of experience. And he knows how to work alongside that thing as well. He's definitely, like the guys you mentioned, definitely stand out. But for me, Dr. Gore might now be my favorite of these kind of import, you know, talents, which are coming in for a little bit and just getting enough time to really showcase themselves to the point where I'll definitely hunt down stuff he's doing outside of the Gatoverse.
Absolutely. Like, Dr. Gore, like, not only is his, like, so yeah, his character's great. He's got a really funny, entertaining gimmicks. He plays, it really works well in the environment. He sells it so well. And like, everybody kind of goes along with them. And it's just like, it just, every time you're like, sweet, Dr. Gore is going to be on this match. I'm really looking forward to this fun interaction that everybody's going to be like, oh, he's sick. And everybody's going to freak out about it. And, you know, or like some of the silly stuff that, and it changes from time to time. It's not always the same, right? Different people have different little things and how they work their little gimmicks. Like Hanashima's like, I'm healthy and all this. And like, it's just been nothing but a joy having him in and around Choco Pro shows and Gatomu shows and Baka Gaijin shows. Yeah. And so this is one of the things. So maybe it doesn't come across to the fans watching the show, but outside of the matches, outside of like the show, he's also extremely, extremely polite. Dr. Gore is a very polite and like, you know, a lot of times we think of wrestlers, we think of these people that are like, oh, you know, hey, I'm the star here. And, you know, they might look down at fans, especially in America, right? But Dr. Gore is like super humble and super polite and super friendly. Like at the Baka Gaijin shows and any other times where I've seen him interacting with fans after the shows, like he'll be bowing super deep to Japanese folks. And like in Japan, that is a really big thing. Like he's lowering himself. He's not lowering himself. Let me change that. But he's raising you up to his level or putting you above him. And he does this as a conscious thing. And it's a small thing, but I think in Japan it's very important. And I think it's something that really is endearing him to a lot of the fans, because he's not doing it to be performative. He's just genuinely like a very polite, friendly, nice person, and he appreciates these opportunities. And so it's really cool to see the fans giving back. Oh, and one of the other cool things. So like, I don't think he does it online. Maybe you'll have to like check. Like I definitely say people check his socials. By the way, let me mention. So on Instagram, he's PW the good doctor, no spaces, but so it's DDDD, right? The good doctor is his Instagram. His Twitter is probably the same. Let me double check. But the reason I mention this is he is also an illustrator. And one of the coolest merch, like May's going to hate me for it, whatever. May could be angry, but, or, you know, because I'm not saying it's one of her items. But Dr. Gore has probably like the coolest merchandise that you could get if you go to like an Ichigaya live show. His Twitter is, or his X is at Dr. Gore SG, no spaces, DrGoresg. And actually with that, you could see he's actually a very good illustrator. And
he posts a lot of his artwork, which is really cool.
Well, if you see him live in Japan, he's been doing, you could get illustrations by him for 2000 yen.
Oh, sorry,
so 2000 yen, it's next to nothing. Oh, I'll show you mine. So people can't see it, but I'll put a picture of it up. I've already put it on my Twitter, but this is, he did for me at Baka Gaijin, and it's got Dr. Gore there on the ground and then me in the window.
That is very cool.
And he just live draws these things, and he's so good and so quick, and he's just like, oh, got you. And I mean, this is like just touching the surface of what he's capable of.
Yeah.
You should see the beautiful Totoro scene he did for like, I think it's maybe like a little May next to Totoro. But yeah, so if you get a chance to see Dr. Gore live, absolutely buy one of his illustrations. Shoot him a message. I don't know if he sends them. I don't know if he does it as like a merch thing, but it is the coolest pro wrestling merch that I think I've got. Okay, enough of my Dr. Gore fawning. But no, he seems like he's a really good guy. So I'm glad to see him in Ichigaya. I hope we continue to see him in Ichigaya.
It seems like he definitely endeared himself to that crew. And the fact that he's learning, like even little things, like as you mentioned, the bowing is a very cultural thing that shows he like he cares. So hopefully, not the last time we see him.
Yeah, I really don't think it will. I think he's gonna, I think, like I said, he's endearing himself to the fans here and also the wrestlers and the company as well. So, and I imagine they're going to be quite happy to kind of try to help him get spread around more. But yeah, I know I think he's going to be at the upcoming show on the 16th as well, though, I think.
Wonderful. Well, the more we get to see of the good doctor, the better, as far as I'm concerned. Obviously, that show is incoming. We have a show which, by the time you're listening to this, will be up on YouTube. It's Masa Takanashi's 20th anniversary. As of recording this, I haven't seen it because, as I mentioned, it's going out in between this recording and you guys listening to this. But we do obviously have Jeff, who goes to every show he can. He went to this show. It won't be a spoiler situation because the good people listening will have, in theory, seen it. They will have been able to see it, so as far as I'm concerned. Spoilers are open. Darth Vader is Luke's father, that kind of thing. How was the show?
Yeah, that was... So I've been to a couple of the Masa Takanashi shows, like the Masa-produced shows, and they're always great and good and very interesting. So I think... You could see Masa, like, I don't know, the self-produced shows are really cool because, like, in self-produced shows, people tend to kind of, like, think outside the box or kind of use that as, like, a kind of avenue to, like, do more than just your basic pro wrestling. Like, Hyper Missile's produced show is, like, apparently just a fever dream. But
yes,
this last Masa show was a bit of a fever dream, and I didn't know what was going on. And I'm just, like, trying to make sense of it. I'm like, wait, okay, so it was, like... people coming out in a diaper, and it was like, you know, it was like, okay, wait, this is like baby Masa. It was almost like a Masa, this is your life. And it was like the lights went out, and then it's like, and then it was just so crazy. And then again, like, I swear to God, every Masa show must have adults in diapers. Like, that's an important part of a Masa show. And just some interesting stuff going on. Some of the matches, like, It's, yeah, some of them are just like all over the place and just so entertaining. And you're just sitting there in your chair and you're like, I don't know what's happening fully, but I'm 100% into this. You know what
I think a lot of people getting into Japanese comedy wrestling has that experience at least once. The language barrier is kicking your ass, but whatever's going on is just like you can't turn away.
Exactly what that is. But of course, the big thing that people obviously the well, here's an instance. So my friend, my buddy out here, Gerard, he watches mainly New Japan Pro Wrestling, Shin Nihon, and he saw on Twitter the Minoru Suzuki versus Mei Suruga match plan, and I didn't have to message him to see if he wanted to go to Choco Pro. He messaged me, and he was like, "What? Look at this!" And I was like, "Do you want to go to the show?" And he was like, "Oh yeah, let's go!" And so like literally, that Mei Suruga versus Minoru Suzuki turned a lot of heads, and it was like, "Whoa, this is going to be exciting!" And a lot of people wanted to see that. And I could tell you, it was absolutely worth seeing. Like that was just amazing. That match, oh man, it's so good. Of course, a lot of people are gonna they'll have seen it by the time they listen to this, but like. You know, Minoru Suzuki doing Mei's like ring ropes running, like where they run to the rope and then like, grab the hand and run and jump and wee off the rope. And like Minoru Suzuki doing that with Mei was absolutely hilarious as they each kind of, and then of course he did the cute on purpose and, she's like slapping him around and they're both kind of like pulling from each other. And they put on a really good match. To me, it was the match of the show. It was the match of the night. Of course, there was other big matches as well. You had Chris Brooks versus Masa. The main event was Chris versus Masa, partner versus partner. That was an amazing match as well. Really good match. Seeing, Chris saying like, "Yeah, we're a team, but you're going to be facing the, DDT champion, Chris. You're facing. I'm not gonna, because he knows like I'm not. I don't. I know you don't want to face the." We, Chris, you want me 100%. I'm going to give you 100%. And it was a really good match. There was a tag kind of like what is it called? Where like, gauntlet, like a tag gauntlet where like the winner stays, and it gets to the end with a bunch of teams, Brahmin Brothers. They're often on a lot of Masa shows. Actually, the Brahmin Brothers coming up, there is the Brahmin Brothers versus Black Komenichi is going to be on the 16th show. And that is going to be just ludicrous. Black Komenichi versus the Brahmins. It's like the two
Guaranteed
most
madness.
outlandish. Yeah, that is going to be a freaking fun show to watch. But they were in it. Yeah, it was just amazing all around. Of course, you had Chie and Hagane, Egg Tarts as part of that. Aki's
And
on the
a
show.
very incoming rare Saki Akai appearance too. Not getting too many
Yes.
chances to see her.
That match, that so that's one of the matches where that match was one of those things where it was like, what is even going on with it? So I'm actually really curious to find out, like, are they gonna put that match on the YouTube show? They might not be able to put that match on the YouTube show, or they might have to cut some parts of it
Oh,
because I don't know
okay.
about YouTube's like, code of conduct and all.
That tells you all you need to know.
They might have to cut some of that match or the whole thing, but at least part of it. But yeah, that was interesting. A lot of shenanigans happening in that match. That was a very entertaining match of I think it was like just off the it was off the rails before the match even started. Like I don't even know if the match ever did start, or it might have been like 15 minutes of off the rails ridiculousness, and then it finally it was just yeah. That's another thing to watch the show for, just to see what they do with that, because I don't have any idea what they're going to do with that.
Suzuki had a very fun month. He got Mei Suruga and then he had the DDT train match going viral.
That was
So,
day after day. That was the Shinkansen match was the day before. And I know that because I was thinking about going to the Shinkansen match, but I didn't because I was like, if I'm going to go all the way, if I'm going to buy a Shinkansen to Nagoya, I don't want to just turn around and come back immediately because I have, to be at Shinjuku Face the next day. So, because unlike Suzuki-san, I'd have to buy my own train tickets, and it's an expensive proposition. So, like, if I'm going to go to Nagoya, I want to spend a couple of days there, right? But yeah,
Obviously,
so
the
it was the
JR
day
Rail
after.
Pass has gone up in price for us foreigners coming in. So apparently, if you want to still get cheap transport, just book matches on the Shinkansen. That's how you do it.
That was a good deal. It was not that expensive. It's just a little bit more than what the normal Shinkansen ticket costs. Mm. And DDT was smart because they had a show and they had like a event in Nagoya that night. So basically all of the people that went on the Shinkansen, the ones that did that show, they got to Nagoya and they, I imagine probably 90% or probably 100% bought tickets for the Nagoya show as well.
That's what you call being a smart booker.
That's so a genius business decision right there.
So obviously, yeah, check out the Masha show. It's up on YouTube now for Mei Suruga versus Minoru Suzuki, for Chris Brooks versus Masa Takanashi, and to see what they do with the Saki Akai match.
And again, the tag gauntlet's really cool. Mm-hmm. There's a lot going on in that show.
Yeah.
A lot going on in that show. But obviously, and the big ones are obviously Saki Akai, Mei versus Suzuki, and then Chris versus Masa. Yeah. But man, Mei versus Suzuki, boy, they put together a match.
And this is coming out relatively quickly too, because obviously some of these ghetto move shows, like they're timing things and when the releases come out. This is really only a few weeks, so very exciting.
Same thing with they had another one. One of their recent Ichigaya shows, I think, came out like a day or two. I think it was like just the Ichigaya on the 5th came out like the day or two after that, didn't it?
Yeah, the Shin show was only a couple of days late, which, you know, is very good. That's the kind of stuff we like. And yeah, they did do a live stream. So the week before, be interesting to see whether that continues. But even if it doesn't, the quick turnaround is very much appreciated as someone who can't be getting window seats each and every show. But this will pretty much bring it to a close. But of course, we have to do the all important. We've got to pay the bills. We've got to keep the lights on. We got to get our sponsors out. And for this time, I think because we are in October, we are talking Halloween, and Japan, you know, does kind of embrace that Halloween culture a bit. I've got to pick a Japanese chocolate. So we're going with Picky today, the very tasty chocolate sticks, which some people know as Pocky, but wait, they're not paying us.
What did you call it?
Picky.
Picky?
Yes, because they're not paying us for the sponsorship. So, you know, we have to do an alternative brand.
You're right.
We've been doing for the past five episodes.
A small thing. So if the real version, what would you call that?
Pocky.
Boo, boo, boo.
What is it?
So in Japanese, it would be Pokey.
Oh, it's Pokey.
Because the O has the capital O sound, like Po. It doesn't have a ah sound.
So what are we calling it then?
Is
it
so in English Pocky? We read it as Pocky, right? Every native English speaker reads that as Pocky. Every Japanese speaker reads that as Pokey.
Well, thankfully, I've never actually audibly requested Pokey in Japan. I've only said it to like people down here in Australia buying it from like Woolworths and Coles. So I've not made a fool out of myself to anyone who actually knows the difference. Until now,
I call
and
it
this
Pocky
is going
too.
Worldwide.
No, I'm not. I can't. I also say Pocky. You know, it's hard to. You know, it's like you said it one way long enough. It's very hard to break that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So
I'm now going to be catching myself every time I get Pokey. But again, we're giving too much. Okay, we'll just call it Pocky then, because we're not actually meant to be saying the actual brand name. So
exactly, we'll call it Pocky, because to a Japanese Pocky is like P A. Not
P-O,
so yeah.
It's the CK. But yeah, so Pocky, what Picky, whatever we want to call it, we're butchering the segment as well as the naming of it. I don't even know what I want to say now. The Pokey moment of the month. Jeff, what was yours?
My Pokey moment of the month is going to have to be, considering that the show is coming out tomorrow morning, our time, but, you know, again, it'll be out before this releases. Mm. I'm going to say watching Minoru Suzuki do Mei's leaps off the ropes and then rolling into the cute on purpose while Mei is just absolutely furious about it. That's my moment of the month.
That's a very fine moment for month. It was on my short list for sure. But I think for me, I have to go back a bit further to Baka Gaijin, in fact, for the totally unexpected appearance as Yoshihiko's shadow, being none other than New Japan Pro Wrestling's El Phantasmo. Because on the broadcast... Oh, sorry. We need the alternate brand ELP LLP. He made the appearance and did the CR3, which was the big giveaway for everyone watching on air, because the face wasn't revealed to us fully on camera. And it was only at the end, like, they showed, like, the mask thing, and you could see a very suspicious-looking, A, white skin, and B, beard. And after the CR2, people were putting it together, including myself, and then footage came out, and it was like, no, there's no doubting who that is. So
that was Fel and Tasmo. What are you talking about?
Oh, look, it's from everyone's favorite promotion, JPNW. I got all four letters there. I butchered them.
Yeah, definitely. That was a fun thing. Him and Harashima after the show were doing lots of shirtless checkies for the ladies. I remember they were quite popular.
Getting a checkie from him is actually a really good deal right now, because you don't get too many chances to buy, like,
yeah, come to think of it, I probably should have got one. But I had my own interesting El Fantasma moment from that evening, which I won't share. But safe to say I developed some kind of bond with El Fantasma that evening.
Your experience with him is something that very few people will ever get, for better or worse. And we're going to leave it at that, because it's something we won't share on air.
Exactly.
I feel blessed for having heard it. So
I didn't tell you. What are you talking about?
I heard it on the grapevine. We'll put it that way. I heard it from Wando Joff, since we're changing names and everything. But
Doorway Joff.
How did I miss that? How did I miss the doorway joke there? Like, it was so obvious. I'm going to stuff my face with Pocky now as repentance for missing such an obvious plight. But that will bring us to a close on another episode of Choco Cast. Jeff, you did mention where people can find you, but especially given, like, you know, some people might want to inundate you with Shin Suzuki merch requests. Where can they find you once again?
Yeah, so again, it's just my name, Jeff Mazzietta. You know, Google it, Instagram it, Twitter X it, whatever, and you'll find me. But yeah, shoot me a message if you're curious. And I mean, I can't make a promise, but I'll try to do what I can if I'm able to kind of somehow finagle that, where, like, you send me cash, I purchase it, and then I mail it to you, or who knows what. We'll figure it out. Anything to help get more things headed Shin's way is good, in my opinion.
And the good thing is, you know, he's not going to just take the money and run, because everyone knows where he'll be every weekend at the window.
Pretty easy to find.
Yeah, they will find you. You can find me on Twitter/X at OneUpCulture. I do podcasts. I do writing for WrestleIn and other places and stuff. Check me out if you care. Yeah, that kind of stuff. And also, even though he's not here, I will give a shout out to where you can find FR Finley, at FBH. And I'm going to spell it out, because it's not just the letters. It's EFFBEEAITCH. You can find him on Twitter and X. And basically tell him, we need you here on ChocoCast, because we only mentioned Chi a handful of times. And I know that's not going to be the quota that he wants. So it just gives you reason to come back next episode and see him here in all of his cheer glory. And, you know, hopefully we get to see Jeff in all of his cheer glory as well, if he does do the costume. But time will
I got to figure that out quick. I got like a week to figure that. Actually, the funny part is I'm going to end up buying a bunch of stuff and, like, I've got my costume ready, and then it's going to be a day of, like, a show that I can't go to because of a work trip or something.
Yeah. We've put the pressure on you. You'll call in sick at work, because there are more important things in life than getting paid. You've got to.
Maybe what I can do is, maybe for the Baka Gaijin show, maybe I'll dress up as Chie. Oh, that'd be embarrassing, though, because Baka Gaijin is going to be on Halloween night. So, like,
yeah, I feel like they're really pushing the Halloween element. So I'm very excited to see what they do, because, like, we've already seen a lot of dress up, a lot of crazy stuff. I feel like that Halloween episode especially is going to be something special.
I think so. Absolutely. Yeah.
But But yeah, obviously check out all the other good stuff at Wrestle In. We've got tons of podcasts. We've got tons of writing, interviews incoming. I think the Jake Lee interview is coming out this week. I don't want to make promises that I can't keep because that's not my job. But we do have a Jake Lee interview coming out. Jeff Cobb, the video interview with Kieran is out now as well. Obviously, you Patreons who might be listening, you got it early. So you can brag to all the non-Patreons that you got to see all that good stuff early, including our wonderful voices. But that will bring us to another episode here at ChocoCast. See it, dream it, believe it. We are ChocoCast.